This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. President Bush's body now in Texas. We've got the story.
Two people died in a fiery crash south of Goddard Wednesday night. I'm Matthew Harding.
Two young boys shot in South Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. A breezy and colder day expected after the warm-up we had yesterday, but a storm system arriving this weekend could give us a good chance of snow. Our complete forecast is on the way.
Two people died in a crash south of Goddard Wednesday night at 183rd Street West in MacArthur. The Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office says the driver of a pickup truck southbound on 183rd Street ran a stop sign and collided with a semi traveling west on MacArthur. Sedgwick County Sheriff Sergeant Michael Hawley at the scene.
Some people just pay attention to stop signs. It would help everyone else a lot. Someone has lost a loved one tonight to failing to yield to a stop sign, as best we can tell. If people would just stop and pay attention to the speed limits, we'd be a lot better off.
Emergency crews found both vehicles on fire when they arrived on the scene. KSN News reports the driver of the pickup and passenger were killed in the accident. The driver of the semi was treated for minor injuries.
Long lines in Houston, mourners paying respects to former President George H.W. Bush.
It wasn't what President Bush, 41, achieved in life, but instead, the man that people here in Houston will miss the most.
The love that he had for his wife was most iconic for me, but just the values that he stood for.
You're a great man.
These some of the thousands of people paying respects to the late former President Bush as he lies in repose at St. Martin's Episcopal Church ahead of a private service before thousands more pay respects as Mr. Bush's casket is taken via train and locomotive 4141 to his interment at the Presidential Library in College Station. In Houston, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Two young boys were taken to a hospital after firing a gun in South Wichita, and 26-year-old Delano Rogers has been arrested in the case. Police officer Charlie Davidson says this happened Tuesday morning.
The investigation revealed the children, their 21-year-old mother, and Rogers arrived at Rogers' home in the 2200 block of South Main. Inside, the children began playing with a handgun, which fired, injuring the children. Rogers then took the children and their mother to the hospital and left.
Officers found Rogers at his home. He's charged with two counts of aggravated child endangerment, interference with judicial process, and drug charges, including possession of marijuana. Investigators also believe they located the handgun from the case in a vehicle in the 700 block of North Minneapolis. The boys, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, had gunshot wounds to their hands. The older boy underwent surgery and remained in the hospital as of Wednesday morning. The younger boy was treated, then placed into police protective custody.
Sedgwick County Manager Michael Scholes is out of a job.
The County Commission announced Wednesday morning Scholes agreed to resign. He was named County Manager in September of 2015. Scholes fell out of favor with the Commission recently when it became known that he had cooperated with the FBI as it was investigating members of the Commission. Commission Chairman David Dennis read part of a joint statement issued by Scholes and the Commission.
Both parties have agreed that it was in Sedgwick County and Mr. Scholes' best interest to part ways. It's time for both parties to look towards the future.
Scholes' resignation was effective November 30th. He'll be paid $205,427 in severance pay. Deputy County Manager Tom Stoltz was appointed interim county manager. Gordon Basham, KNSS News.
General Motors CEO took some heat on Capitol Hill after announcing plans to slash thousands of jobs in North America.
GM CEO Mary Barra met with Washington lawmakers Wednesday about why the company is cutting up to 14,000 jobs at North American plants. The company halting production on unpopular models to boost profits.
A strong General Motors is the best way for me to provide and maintain the 90,000 plus jobs that we have across the United States.
Lawmakers from states where plants are closing are asking the company to keep those plants open. Democratic Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger of Maryland's outraged. Since U.S. taxpayers bailed out GM during the Great Recession,
we committed to them, and now they're walking away.
President Trump's threatening to cut subsidies to GM. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
quite a finish for the Butler Dodge men's basketball game last night. You will want to hear Dennis Higgins with the call. We'll have that coming up in sports.
One very large Christmas tree will be lit up later today on Capitol Hill. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Incoming Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says she is stunned by a state agency's lack of response to a shortage of residential psychiatric beds for children needing care in the state. During a meeting Tuesday of a task force studying the state's child welfare system, Kelly suggested she wants significant changes after she takes office in January, according to the Wichita Eagle. About 140 Kansas children are on a waiting list to receive care at the residential centers, which are known as PRTFs.
A federal appeals court says a law in New Jersey limiting the capacity of a gun magazine can stand.
The third U.S. Circuit Appeals Court, in a split decision, upheld a law that says a 10-round magazine capacity can be enforced over a 15-round limit. Gun rights advocates sought an injunction to stop enforcement, but a circuit judge ruling in the 2-1 majority said the law does not infringe on Second Amendment rights of gun owners and showed a focus on public safety. In enacting the statute, New Jersey officials hope mass shootings can be averted. Gun owners argue defending their homes will be more difficult and say criminals will simply ignore it. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
One very large Christmas tree will be lit up later today on Capitol Hill.
It's called the People's Tree, the Christmas tree on Capitol Hill, to be lit during a ceremony on the West Front Lawn. The architect of the Capitol and the United States Forest Service team up to pick the tree, and the one for this year is a noble fir that comes from Oregon's Willamette National Forest, hauled all the way across the country by truck. Willamette Forest Ranger Nikki Swanson.
This tree was 35 years old and 82 feet in the wild. It weighed 8,300 pounds, and the diameter was 2 feet in diameter.
The tree's decked out in handmade ornaments, and House Speaker Paul Ryan has the honor of hitting the button to get the tree going. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And so far this morning, things going well out there in traffic and the low end of the gasoline prices. We're seeing $1.89 a gallon. I did get a call from traffic tracker Terry. He spotted 187 near Tyler and Kellogg. Traffic update, KNSS Radio. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now let's take a look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. A weak cold front has moved through. Behind that, gusty northeast winds today with a high temperature 34. We will be cloudy overnight, our low 19, sunny and 35 for the high tomorrow. Friday night, a storm system takes aim on the southern plains. That will likely give us a chance of 1 to 2 inches of snow on Saturday afternoon or high Saturday 32. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now a cloudy sky. We've got a north wind gusting to 28 miles per hour and 35 degrees. 8:11 with Steve and Ted on this Thursday morning, December 6th. And of course, body of former President George H.W. Bush now in Houston. And we'll be going to College Station later for his burial. This morning, we're checking in with Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington to find out a little bit more about what happened yesterday, I guess. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it was just an amazing scene here in Washington, both at the Capitol and at Washington's National Cathedral. We saw the honor guard carrying the casket of the former president, the late president, carefully down the steps of the Capitol. And, you know, I was talking with the commission that puts this together. It's a joint task force National Capitol Region. And they actually start planning for a state funeral the moment a president takes office. I didn't know that. And then what they do is they drill and they drill and they drill and they work on these plans for years with both the family of the president and the president himself. They work on this. So when we got the calls early Saturday morning that the president had died, and then the very next day, boom, there was the news release with everything laid out in detail. And it makes sense now because they plan this. They work so carefully with the family. And this is what we're seeing playing out in Washington and Texas this week is exactly what the president wanted, exactly what the Bush family wanted.
You know, and when you go to news networks, news organizations like yours, you've got archives of sound and visuals and so forth, collect on everybody just for that kind of a – you've got to be ready to rock and roll as well when that something like that happens. But, you know, I'm struck like you, Rachel, just watching the choreography and how well they do it. I'm thinking, man, did they put this together overnight? Heavens, no.
No, this has been years in the making. And you see this playing out. And then the honor guards that are selected and the ones that stand over the president's remains in the Capitol Rotunda. I was in there for a little while on Tuesday. And it was just so quiet and so beautiful. The only thing you could really hear is the footsteps of people shuffling past, some people praying. I saw people making the sign of the cross, the honor guard standing completely still with their bayonets. And they switch out every 30 minutes. But it's considered a great honor for these service members to be able to stand watch over a former president at a state funeral. Not exactly sure how they're chosen, but and then they also serve as pallbearers. And you see them here.
Right.
You see them also in Texas.
Right. The service itself, a great service, and I'm thinking as I think back on what the reason is, because this was a man, President Bush, who had great characteristics. He liked to drive his speedboat fast. He loved his family and his home. Had some interesting. Alan Simpson, always funny to see, and making some funny comments. And George W. was funny when he needed to be. And at the end, when he started to break down, I thought, you know. Wow, that is that's human. That's the way it is. But it was a great service.
It showed that human aspect, and I thought it was also interesting watching that front row with all the former presidents and their wives, and President Trump and Melania there in attendance. All of them lined up, and it was interesting. There were some awkward moments, but there were also some sweet moments, like when President George W. Bush reached over and gave Melania another piece of candy, like he did at the funeral for Senator John McCain. And but at the same time, Hillary Clinton was throwing some serious shade at President Trump.
he
would not even look his way.
Some serious shade. Okay. Well, you know, these are people who all of them have had their political differences, some pretty violent political differences, but there is, as I understand it, there's a brotherhood, sisterhood for the people who have served in the Oval Office. They all begin to understand each other after a while, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. It's an exclusive club. It's one that they can really understand one another, and I think after they leave office, everybody's sort of friends again.
Yeah.
You definitely got that impression watching all these former presidents. But it was awkward at moments too. But
sure.
One thing they did is put duty over their feelings.
Well,
they were there, and even though it must not have been easy for any of them, President Trump, you know, he had his differences with the Bush family, but certainly he knew he was going to be sitting in the same row with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody had to say, okay, duty first.
Yeah.
And I think that as Americans, we want to see that. That was what the World War II generation was about and what that we're saying goodbye to. And so seeing them all there and doing that and putting their own feelings aside, that's refreshing.
Back to where you started, though, Rachel, you're giving me some really good information today and our listeners about the fact that this planning actually starts when the president is elected to the office. They start planning this with the family?
Yes.
Wow.
Start planning it right away because anything could happen.
Yeah.
We know from the assassinations that as soon as the president's the president, that's it. They could be assassinated. Anything could happen. You need to have that in place. And I'm sure they have kind of a template that they go off of.
Sure.
And then they work closely with the families.
Yeah.
So in this case, this funeral, and you're seeing it just play out without even one little problem that we could tell.
No.
It's been a product of years and years of work, and all of a sudden they're out there doing it, but they've already drilled, they've already rehearsed, they rehearse these things in this area, and then they've already planned ahead in Texas. So
mm-hmm, sure.
it's a way for a president, not only for him to say goodbye, the ones that we've seen who have died, and even if you look back at the funeral for, it wasn't a state funeral, but you know, for John McCain. He sent a lot of messages too. It's their way of saying goodbye,
mm-hmm.
And it's helpful as Americans to have that kind of closure.
Now listen, thank you for your coverage this morning. Appreciate it, Rachel.
Thank you,
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland, sharing some stuff there. That, you know, and I would imagine you listeners have been kind of curious about that, as I have, about how they put all that choreography and the soldiers and the and everything together in such short notice? Well, she says they've been planning for these guys. They got a good template there, and they plan and they practice for years and years and years for just this kind of occasion. And they pulled it off. It was a beautiful. And I had never, I guess I've seen probably on TV the inside of the cathedral, but I had never thought about that. That is a beautiful building. And next time I go to Washington, D.C., if I ever get back there, I'm going to have to go and visit that place. That rivals the, you know, where they had the weddings in London. It rivals that, certainly. That's a beautiful, beautiful church. 818 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Ted Woodward Sports right now, and a little excitement for one of our friends, Dennis Higgins, last night. I know you're going to tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Things got interesting last night. Some JUCO men's basketball action. The Butler Community College Grizzlies on the road visiting Dodge City. Close game right down to the very end of regulation. Dennis Higgins had the call last night. It was on Sports Radio KFH. Butler with the ball, down by 2, seconds ticking away.
Across the timeline, drives to the lane. His layup attempt is no good. A follow dunk by Coley before the buzzer. And we are tied 76. No, they're waving it off. Oh, my goodness. One official has waved it off, and he's running off the floor. That dunk went through. Coley with a follow dunk. And the Grizzlies were celebrating, and one official of the three ran over and said no, it was after the buzzer. What an ending to the ball game. The Grizzlies are going to lose 76-74.
Wow. The agony of defeat.
Yeah.
The call by Dennis Higgins there as the Grizzlies fall 2 points short on the road at Dodge last night. So that's a better results for Hutchinson Community College. Wins for the men and women, both ranked in the top 10. The Hutchinson men, under head coach Steve Eck, ranked number 7 in the nation. They win on the road at Neosho County, 86-81 in overtime. The last time Hutchinson lost in Chanute at Neosho, 1965.
And, I was in the ninth grade.
Came close last night, but Hutchinson gets another win in Chanute. Hutchinson men now 11-1 on the season. The Hutchinson women win at Neosho by 9 points. The Hutchinson ladies are 10-0, ranked number 8 in the nation. NBA basketball last night, a game featuring two former Wichita State Shockers. The top team in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors, at home hosting one of the top three teams in the East, the Philadelphia 76ers. Raptors win again, 113-102. Off the bench for Toronto, former Wichita State Shocker Fred VanVleet. And off the bench for the 76ers, former Shocker, the rookie Landry Shamet. Both had a couple of buckets each. VanVleet finishing with 5 points, Shamet with 6. As Toronto won that game, the Raptors, still the best team in the NBA. They have won 9 of their last 10 games. We have Thursday night football tonight to get the week started in the NFL. It's in Nashville. The Tennessee Titans hosting the last place Jacksonville Jaguars. Titans are a 5-point favorite. As the Titans are still trying to get a playoff spot, but they have to climb over 4 teams in the next 4 weeks to do that. So Tennessee desperate for a win. If you like offense, this is not your game. This is expected to be the lowest scoring game in the NFL this week.
Okay.
Titans-Jaguars. Maybe if you like defense, will love this game. Probably. 7 o'clock tonight, you can listen to the Titans and the Jags on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And who doesn't like a 10-6 score in a football game?
Hey, this might be your game tonight. That's sports with Steve and Ted. Now, there are some people that do love defensive games.
Sure. Not many. They're called ex-linebackers. That's who they are. Time for our Prairie Fire Coffee Break on KNSS. Prairie Fire Coffee is the freshest coffee in the Wichita area because Prairie Fire Coffee beans are roasted fresh right here in Wichita. And you can get Prairie Fire Coffee at your office by calling 267-3771 or online at prairiefirecoffee.com.
Coffee break!
822, keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. And traffic and weather coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.